one Wednesday. I want you, if you will, turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, a very familiar passage to some of you. I remember the first time I read this, that was probably 1980, first time, 1979, 1980. I was just a young man in my 20s, hadn't been saved long, and I read this story, and it blew my mind. I didn't know such things were in the Bible, and it really helped me, it really did. And I could relate to it, I really felt like he was kind of talking to me. And, you know, that's the way we're supposed to take Scripture. Take it like it's talking to you if you can. Luke 18, we'll start with verse 35, if you will, in Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing a multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. Did you notice he didn't just get his sight? Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now you got to get the picture. Jesus is about to go through Jericho for the last time on his way to Calvary. He knows he's going to be mistried. He knows he's going to be mistreated. He knows he's going to be beaten. He knows he's going to be lied on. He knows that he's going to be crucified, not for what he did, but in our place. And he knows that. And the Bible, in another passage, said that he set his face like a flint. In other words, rock hard. He knew what he had to do, and he was on the way. But for some reason, he went through Jericho. Now, we see the reason. The Lord knew this man was there. The Lord knew this man needed something. And so he went to fulfill it. And so as he's going through, everywhere he went, you've got to remember, by now, thousands flocked to hear him. Thousands, you know. It'd be like a big rally of some kind. As soon as he walked through the city gate, word would get around. And because of what he had done, his fame had followed him, and they would gather around him. And all of them would try to touch him because they had heard that a woman touched the hem of his garment one time and she was healed of a lifelong disease just by touching his garment. Others heard that he spoke the word and people received their sight or their hearing or they were made to walk again or whatever it might have been. And they'd heard this, so they're pushing, they're shoving, they're hollering, all of them saying, Jesus, me. You know, all of them want something. And here is one man that nobody really thought much of, a poor old blind, the Bible says, a beggar. Now, beggar tells me he'd been blind all his life. He had no industry, he had no occupation, he had nothing that he knew how to do, so therefore he had begged all his life. And the beggar would sit beside the gate, and he'd say, they'd just sit there and they'd say, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And it was Jewish tradition, you were to give them a little something. And so he sat by the gate, and he heard the crowd coming, and he said, what's going on? And somebody said, Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And immediately, as soon as he heard that, the Bible said, he hollered out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, you and I wouldn't have heard it because there was thousands of people pushing and shoving and hollering. It was a big deal. But he's way over on the wayside where he sat begging. And then Jesus stopped them all and he said, somebody said something. Where's he at? And he hollered again, said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And he said, bring him here. Now, of all those people, he heard that one man. That's why the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Out of all the people in the world, he heard you and I when we called on him. Can you imagine all the prayers that are going up to heaven right now, all at the same time, and yet he heard us. Amen? And so they bring the blind man over there, and when they bring him over there, you know, they present him to the Lord, and the Lord says, what do you want me to do to you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now, Jesus didn't say, go down here to the hospital and go over there and get an operation. He didn't go see Dr. So-and-so or go to a training program or rehab program. He said, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. Now, of course, we know from Hebrews chapter 12, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He hoped, he believed that Jesus could do it. He'd heard a lot about him, but he didn't know. He just hoped for it. So he presented the case to the Lord, and the Lord gave him according to his faith because he believed God could do it. Now, let me tell you something. There's nothing impossible for God. Nothing. Boy, a lot of people, I grew up, they called us white trash. They said, why you want to run around with that white trash, you know? And we were poor and looked down on and everything else. And everybody I knew turned into a drug addict. Most of them dead and gone now, drug addicts and drunks and everything else. But the Lord has his eye on the sparrow. He knows when it falls to the ground. He knows who's going to call on him and who's not going to call on him. And listen, out of all those people, he spared me because one day he knew, March the 5th, 1978, that I would call and ask him to save me. He knew that. And he heard that out of all those people. He heard that. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, why me? I mean, why me? Why would you make me a new creature in Christ? Why would I be born again? Why would everything change just like that? As soon as I called on the Lord and gave him my heart, my mind, my soul, that day I walked in one kind of person and I walked out of that church another kind of person, born again. I had a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit. Man, I loved everybody. The sky was bluer, the trees were greener. I could have hugged a tree, man. We're about half hippie anyway. And I'm telling you, man, it was all new. And here's this poor old beggar, and the best he could think of was give me my sight, but he walked away from there a new person. He said, thy faith has saved thee. Now you say, preacher, I don't have that kind of faith. Well, none of us did. None of us did. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, that last verse where he's talking about spiritual gifts, he says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. And now, God gave me the faith to believe when I called on him. I didn't know how to believe. That preacher would come to my house, I'd say, preacher, when I quit lying and cussing and quit running around this crowd and quit drinking, I'll come to your church and I'll get baptized and I'll become a Christian. I'm glad he was a real man. He'd look right at me and say, son, you're going to die and go to hell. You'll never do that. I said, I thought that's what Christians were. He said, that's what they ought to be. A lot of them ain't. He said, but if you'll give it to him, he'll do all that for you. And he did instantly. I went to work about two or three days later. I was talking to somebody, an old, dirty old man. Ain't nothing like a dirty old man. You know, they tell dirty jokes. He told me a joke, and I didn't laugh. He said, boy, what's wrong with you? He said, something different about you. I didn't know one Bible verse. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know one hymn. All I knew is a few weeks before that, that preacher said, if you'll come down here and call on the Lord, he'll save you. And I went down there and called, and he saved. He changed me. I didn't know I had a new tongue. I had to read that later in the Bible. I didn't know I had a new mind. I had to read that later in the Bible. I didn't know I had a new heart. I had to read that later in the Bible, and I found all that out. I didn't know what eternal life was. I didn't know. All I know is I was blind, but now I could see spiritual things. And I was lost, now I felt found. And that dirty old man looked at me and said, what in the world's done happened to you? I said, well, you know I've been going to church. He said, boy, don't you start preaching at me. I didn't even know what a preacher was. I'd never known but one. That's the one that led me to the Lord at 23. So here's this man. He said, what do you want me to do? He said, give me my sight. And he said, and he didn't say this, but not only did you get your sight, but you got a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And it says, all the old things pass away, behold, all things become new. And, you know, we thought we knew what love was, but we, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and we sang about love, love, love. All the world needs is love. You know, all our songs talked about love, you know. And never forget, Preacher Coley preached that time on when a man loves a woman. He preached on that. He said, when a man loves the Lord, he'll sleep outside in the rain. He'll give up all his friends. But we didn't know what love was till we come to know the love of God through Christ Jesus. He put the love in my heart. And I used to be full of envy and hate and meanness. And it all went out that day. And I can't hate anybody. There's been people since I've been saved that I wanted to hate and I couldn't. I get mad at them and I wanted to hate them. Amen. And I used to tell them where to go. I got mad at this fellow one time. I said, "Oh, won't you go to heaven?" Amen. I used to tell him to go to the other place, but I don't want to anymore because I can't hate nobody. And here's this blind man. He's been sitting over all his life, living on leftovers from everybody else. I imagine he's got a lot of hatred in his heart for those people that won't help him, and he's got a lot of envy for those rich people and everything else. And that day, he didn't just get his sight. He got a new life. Amen? He got a new heart, new mind, new spirit, new name in heaven. Got him a new home. Amen? Boy, that's good. That's enough to make a Baptist shout. Amen. And now listen. He was a perfect picture of me when I was a sinner. Listen to this. Number one, he sat by the wayside. He was born blind. He was helpless. He was hopeless. And that's just like me and you. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." One of the famous pop singers sang, "I was born this way." Yes, you were, and so was I. We were born sinners. Me and my wife teaches school, been teaching for over 20 years. We was talking about it coming to church tonight, about this kid, you know. And did you know, she said, "Well, that's the way kids turn out if you leave them alone." The Bible says that child left alone will go the wrong way every time. That's what's wrong with me. I never had a daddy. I never met him. My mama couldn't do nothing with me. And we were born sinners. I got beautiful grandchildren. If you mess with them, I'd put a Jesus slapping on you. I'd love you, though, while I did it. I wouldn't hate you. I wouldn't want you to go to hell, but I'd slap you if you mess with my grandchildren. Amen? But the point being, did you know every one of them was born a sinner? Did you know I didn't have to go over to Edda Marie I'll take Olivia. She's a teenager now, got a driver's license. I didn't have to go over and say, "Now, Olivia, I'm going to teach you how to lie." No, that come natural. She was born a sinner. We all were. Nobody had to teach you how to lie. I mean, I'll talk to people sometimes. They'll say, "Well, preacher, I'm a pretty good gal. I'm a pretty good guy. And I try to keep commandments." I said, "You can't even keep one." They said, "What's that?" I said, "Not bear false witness." "Oh, yeah, I ain't never told a lie." I said, "You just did." Ain't never anybody ever lived on planet Earth other than Jesus Christ himself that didn't tell a lie. Told a lie because he's got Adam's blood flowing through his veins, just like me and you. When I was a teenager, I hung around the wrong crowd. I caught hepatitis B, not C. C or K. My brother had C. I got B. A just makes you turn yellow and it goes away. But after that, before dentists and all that started wearing all them masks and stuff, you know, you go to the doctor, they didn't used to put all that on. Boy, they'd look at my chart and say, "Help me." Whoa, and they'd put on the mask and the goggles and the face mask and everything. They didn't want my blood on them because it's tainted. I'd go give blood. They say, Red Cross said, "We don't want your blood. It's bad. If we give this to somebody to kill them." And just by the grace of God, didn't me. But the point being, my blood is tainted physically. Nobody wants it. And I remember I had tests run a few years ago for some other stuff, and doctor come out and over this paper. He said, "There's something about you you need to know, and maybe you don't know it. We want to know more about it. You have the live hepatitis B virus." I said, "No, I got the antibodies. My body's fought it off." He said, "No, you don't have any antibodies. It's alive and well." And he said, "We got some questions. Number one, why it hadn't hurt you? Why has it not hurt you? Why hadn't it affected your liver, your heart, or something? And number two, why hadn't your wife and kids ever caught it from you?" I said, "I can tell you why. The Lord protects me. He takes care of me." well, here, we want you to go get these tests run so we can find out more about it. I said, who's paying for the test? He said, you are. I said, I'm not getting the test. I know who takes care of me. Amen. Amen. But my blood's tainted. Now, you take a little baby boy, this guy right here. He's blind. He never robbed a bank. He's blind. He didn't mistreat people. He couldn't. He's blind and helpless, the Bible says. And so were you and I, spiritually speaking. Ephesians 2 and 1 says, ye who were dead in trespasses and sin hath he quickened in Christ Jesus. Now, son, let me tell you something. There's nothing that you and I or anybody else in this room could not do. People say, well, I'd never do that. That's probably going to be exactly the thing you'll do. Or you'll be tempted to, at the least. Because there's no temptation such as but common to man. We all have the same temptations. Some give in, some don't. But it's just the grace of God that God, when you were born again, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that day, He gave you spiritual sight. You can see that now. See? And you were born a sinner and you couldn't help it. So therefore, because of that, we need a Savior. Well, preacher, I just don't believe that. Well, whether you believe it or not, it's still true. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men. We have the proof, and it ain't living proof, it's dying proof. See, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they sinned, God said, all right, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And they they're not here. They're gone. They died. But they also died spiritually. Now, you and I, if you think it ain't true, you wait around long enough, you'll find out the Bible's true. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes. Because just as we're all born, we all die. And that's because of the curse of sin. Man never would have had to die if it hadn't been for Adam and sin. And it's been passed down. Well, God, why would He do that to a little baby? Well, babies are innocent. They don't know. Adam and Eve was innocent until the day they were tempted, and then they failed. They weren't righteous. They were innocent. And then they failed. And there'll come a time in every person's life when they'll realize God's real and I'm wrong. And I need to do something about it. And then they'll start seeking. I did. I didn't grow up in church. We never heard Bible in our house. Nobody ever invited us to church. We're so mean they wouldn't even invite us to church. And that day I heard, that day, like he was talking about Eastside Baptist Church, I heard that preacher say, for God so loved the world. I figured, well, that's me too. That he gave his only begotten son. That's the Lord Jesus. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That's die and go to hell. But having everlasting life, I said, that's what I want. And I started seeking. I didn't get saved. It took me 3 years, about five times to that church, and probably him five or six times at my house and other people too. And God began to draw me, and He drew me. And out of all those people, I could name you 15 people right now I grew up with that died terrible deaths. As far as I know, they died without the Lord. And out of all those people, He drew me, and He saved me. Because I called on Him. And I was born again. Now that's what happened to this man right here. He wasn't just healed, he was born again. I got to hurry up. Y'all ain't listening fast enough. Well, how's that happen, preacher? Well, Romans 10:17, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, in verse 41 says he had a desire to see. He believed if he could just get to Jesus, he'd be all right. And no one could stop him. Now you listen to me. When you really get serious about spiritual things, you begin to seek God, won't nobody stop you. Now the devil will throw roadblocks in your ways. You'll have friends that say, you don't want to do that. I tried that. It didn't work. And you'll have family say, now you're going to get religion or something, think you're better than us. You know. People will try to stop you. The devil will try to stop you. Friends will try to stop you. But listen, if you ever really start seeking the Lord, you'll find Him. You know why? He's looking for you. He's already looking for you. And so this man began, he had a desire to see. Now, nobody's ever going to heaven without a desire to go. See, we think that God's some kind of big grandpa, and he's sitting up there, and you know, grandpa don't whip anybody. Grandpa don't fuss at anybody. He's big old grandpa, probably like Brother Jeff. I can see him now. I bet he ain't never whooped a youngin'. Oh, he did. Well,
I'll tell you what, if he had grandkids, I bet you. Oh, he's got grandkids. I bet he ain't never whipped his grandkids, had he? You ruin them. Don't sit there and tell me you don't. What did you say? They ruined. Ruined. He's ruined. But grandpa don't whoop anybody. Grandpa says, listen, son, you have to go see your mama about this. I don't whip my grandkids. I want them to turn out right, but I expect mom and daddy to spank their kids, not me. It's my job to spoil them, not straighten them out. Amen. But everybody thinks God's like that. He's sitting up on a big throne, and one day he's going to open up all the gates of heaven, and he's going to look at everybody and say, "Oh, just come on in." Well, if that's true, his son died for nothing. If that's true, the Bible's a lie. If that's true, he can't be just, because there's a lot of people would ruin heaven if he let them in.
Amen. Yeah.
Can you imagine Hitler in heaven? Mussolini? How about Charles Manson? He'd be a good one to be singing in the choir, wouldn't he? Hey, I'm telling you, God's not like that. God's just, and his motives are right, and he's pure, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray, but thank God he sent his son to die in our place and pay for our sins. Amen? Now, nobody could stop this man. Be quiet over there. Be quiet over there. He don't have time to talk to people like you. You ain't nobody. You ain't nothing. I'll never forget that lady, little boys we hung around with. That lady didn't know me, and my little brother was in the other room standing behind the wall. And her boys wanted to go with us to the house. And they asked her, and she said, "No, you're not going up there. Why you want to hang around with white trash like that anyway?" Hypocrite. Went to church every Sunday. Said she was a Christian. Why you want to hang around white trash like that? Let me tell you something. A lot of people probably looked at him and said, "Look, he don't have time for you. You're nobody. Look at you. You're dirty and you're nasty. You got nothing. And you're on top of all that, you're blind and you're helpless. Why do you think he would hear you?" And the Bible says he got louder. He got loud. Let me tell you something. If you really go to seeking the Lord, won't nobody stop you? I'd scream, I'd holler, I'd cry, I'd weep. That day I got saved, I sat in the sixth pew on the left-hand side, and I was sitting over there, and I was crying, tears running down my face. I couldn't hardly breathe. My heart was pounding, and the Lord was pulling on me, you know, the Spirit was. And I was sitting there thinking, a man don't cry. A man doesn't do this stuff. I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I'm going down there. I'm going to get saved. Amen.
Glory to God.
This man wouldn't take no for an answer, and wilt not take no for an answer. He wasn't ashamed to ask Jesus to save him. Now, let me tell you something. You ain't no better than anybody else. You're in the same batch with the rest of us. You were born a sinner, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, "I don't sin, I keep the commandments." We can't keep the first one, to love the Lord thy God with all our heart and all our mind. We can't do that. We think about other people and other things. We love them more sometimes. Amen? We can't keep the first commandment. Much less all them others. We failed on the first one. We don't even need to go to farther than that. And all of us have. There's nobody in here any better than anybody else. You might have a better house or a better automobile or a better job, but all that's going to burn up when it's all over. The earth's going to melt with a fervent heat. And let me tell you something. At the foot of the judgment seat of God is level ground. He doesn't care where you come from or what section of the country you came from or whether you got a redneck accent or Yankee accent. He don't care about that. What he wants to know is, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? That's going to be the question. And this man right here, he wasn't going to take no for an answer. He yelled and he hollered and he got louder. And you say, "Well, I'd be embarrassed." No, if you was afraid of going without, amen. He's afraid he's going to end up blind the rest of his life. That day I was afraid I was going to bust hell wide open. Couldn't nobody stop me then. I was determined, buddy. And then I want you to notice this. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If thou shalt believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus and confess with thy mouth that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And then he explains in the next verse, Brother Holroyd. He said, because with the heart, what's right there, the inner person, not that thing going pump, 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 but the real you. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's what makes you right with God, what's in your heart. and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Next verse says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Since I've been saved, I've been ashamed of me. But I ain't been ashamed of Him. I've never been ashamed of Him. He's a lot better than me than I went to the store the other day and I checked out and the lady said, how you doing? I said, a lot better than I deserve. She said, oh, you ought not say that. I said, it's the truth. I said, if it wasn't for the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God and the grace of God, I'd be burning in hell today, rightly so. I'd get what I deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I don't want justice. They run around carrying signs, justice. I don't want justice. I want the mercy of God. Amen? So it doesn't take but one sin. It's all it takes is one. And it's in your heart. And when that old jailer came in there in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, Paul and Silas were in jail at midnight singing Amazing Grace, and the earthquake came, and the bars came open, and the chains fell off, and that jailer came in there with a light, and he had a sword in his hand. He was fixing to kill himself because he thought all his prisoners had escaped, and he was going to face the result of that with his superior. As he was about to fall on his sword, they said, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And then when he saw that, he said, he saw God was in it. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, you know what he wanted to hear? Join the synagogue. Quit smoking. Quit drinking. Quit cussing. Treat your children better. No, that's not what they said. And they said, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And the Bible says he believed and his whole house got saved. Now let me tell you something. When this blind man wanted the Lord to heal him, after he got to him, the Lord said, I'm not just going to heal you. He said, thy faith has saved thee. The man got more than he bargained for, amen? And so will you when you get saved too. Now he was healed immediately in verse 43. Verse 43 says, immediately he received his sight. Now, you know what that tells me? He didn't turn over a new leaf. He got a new life. Amen. Amen. Listen, he wasn't reformed. He was regenerated. Became a new creature. There's a lot of reformation going on. But I'll tell you how that works. I'm just about through. Some of y'all look nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. I'll tell you how that reformation works. A lot of people will go to rehab and reform and all this stuff because they're in trouble or they're scared. But when the fear of the trouble's gone, the rehab is too. They didn't need rehabilitation. They needed reformation. They needed regeneration. They needed to be changed into something different. They needed to leave different than what they came in. Amen. Now, did you know when I got saved, and a lot of people, when you got saved, you're not a recovering anything. Amen. You're a delivered. Amen. You have a new life. We don't go to meetings and say, well, I'm a recovering this, I'm recovering that. I say, no, I'm redeemed by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been bought back. I've been regenerated. I'm not the same person I was when I walked in that church that day. I've been regenerated. I'm different. See? When that blind man walked out of that place that day, he didn't walk out of there and say, well, I think I can see good out of one eye. I've been going to classes. I think they're helping me. I've been going to Blind Man's Anonymous, and I think I'm getting a little sight in my left eye. No, sir. He walked out of there hollering, I can see! I can see! I can see! He went home and told Mama, I can see! He went home and told everybody, I can see! I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. Amen. It was the instant work of God. And he glorified God in verse 43. And just like Paul did in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, he went home unashamed. Now, I've been ashamed of myself a lot of times, especially before I was saved. I did a lot of things I'm ashamed of. But you know, now we can look up to heaven and say, I'm not ashamed to be called a child of God.
Amen. Glory to God.
I've been ashamed of being a Roddy many times. I mean, it's different than it was when I was growing up. Father's Day, you know, used to be something when I was growing up, and I didn't have a father, didn't know who he was, and I was ashamed of that. We didn't go to church, and I was in the classes with the good kids because I made good grades, but they all went to church, and we didn't go to church. They went to church on Easter, and they went to church on Christmas, and we didn't do that. We had Santa Claus. We had the Easter Bunny. We didn't have Jesus. And even all of that, I didn't know what it all meant, but I was ashamed that I was not what I ought to be. But that blind man walked out of that place that day and he said, I ain't ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. He gave my sight and he saved me too. And Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before this sinful and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and angels which are in heaven. I tell you, he wasn't ashamed. He glorified God by his life. He glorified God by his speech. And because of this, you go back and read it, others glorified God too. Brother Danny, when you finally give it to the Lord, something, you went to work one day and after a little while somebody went over and said, did you hear about Danny? He done got religion. He done got religion. Ron went back to work and they said, did y'all hear about Ron? He's done gone religion crazy. See, he believed the Bible. He goes to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He even talked about something they call revival or something. I don't know what he was talking about. But I know one thing, the boy's different. Amen. God must have done that. He ain't cussed in 2 weeks. He ain't drank liquor in a month. Listen, I'm telling you, when God does a work in your life, you think this blind man went back over in the corner and sat down by the gate where people come in and said, alms for the poor, alms for the poor, and closed his eyes where he couldn't see? No, sir. He opened those eyes and run around that place and said, Jesus did this. Jesus did this. Look what he did. You say, preacher, you get excited about this stuff. You would too. Hey, if you was dead and he rose you, I was spiritually dead. I'd open the Bible, couldn't understand a word it said, and I can understand almost all of it. Amen. Preacher to preach, I felt like he was pointing right at me. He could be pointing over here, and I'd be sitting over there, and I felt like he was pointing right at me. Every sermon was about me. Every prayer was about me. Every song was about me. I thought they talked about me before they got there. I did. They didn't know me. I thought they talked about me. Billy, did you feel that way? Felt like... I thought, while the preacher was preaching, I thought, my wife's been over there to see the preacher, and she has told him everything about me. That's the way I felt. But boy, that day I got saved, I walked out of there free. Amen, amen. They called me hippie down at the mill, and went back to work, and people said, oh, hippie done got religion. I said, I ain't got no religion. I got no candles. I got no statues. I don't chant chants. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see I was lost, but I'm found. Jesus saved me. That's all I can tell you. I don't know any Bible verses. I don't know any of him. I just know I wish you'd have been there. You could have got some of it too. Amen. I quit looking for satisfaction anywhere else. That old blind man. You know what? We're going to see him in heaven. You know what he's going to talk about? He's going to talk about that day. I preached in a nursing home down in Sherrall, South Carolina one time. There was about 100 people there. And an old blind man, old black blind man, sat right up there on the front. And when I gave the invitation, he was 90 years old. Tears would run down his cheek. And he got up with his stick and he come up forward. And he told that preacher that was with me, he said, I want to be saved. And he took him in there and he read him a few scriptures and he asked the Lord to save him. And he come out smiling. Amen. The blind man got in. You know what he's going to talk about when he gets to heaven? He's going to talk about living in a nursing home and God came by. Amen. Jesus passed by. He's passing by you. He did that time you was in a car wreck. You know it. That time you were sick, he came by, you felt it. You felt his presence. That time down at the funeral home when somebody died and your heart was broken and you felt God there that day. He hadn't give up yet.
Thank
you, Lord. Some of us Christians ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We don't talk more about it.
Amen.
Well, I'm afraid they'll make fun of me. They made fun of him. But now what difference does that make? You wasn't ashamed to tell them what you drank. It was wrong. Wasn't ashamed to tell how much liquor you could drink before you threw up, passed out. You wasn't ashamed of all your escapades with men and women. You wasn't ashamed to brag on that and talk about that. You wasn't ashamed how you stole from your boss man and all that. Why would we be ashamed of him? He's done so much for me.
Yes.
I was knocking on doors one day and this woman said, "I heard about you. You're a sorry preacher." I said, "Yes, ma'am, you're right. I am a sorry preacher. I wish you'd pray for me. I am not worthy, but I know the one that is."
Amen.
And did you know after that she let me in and started talking to me? What about you? Have you ever invited him in? "Whosoever's called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Once you invite him in, have you been ashamed of him? I'm not saying he'd be ashamed of you. He probably has. But have you ever been ashamed of him, what he's done for you? No, you haven't. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that never changes.